We're up to Perek Lamed Beis. Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Chaf Ches. Okay, we're discussing here Milchemes Goyg U'Magog. We're discussing all the various nations that are going to participate in this Milchama and Yimos HaMashiach. The main player here is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is going to be the main player. That's what it says here in the Pesukim. And we also have Ashur, and we have Elam, and Meshach and Tuval. And here we're up to Pasuk Chavches. Pasuk Chavches goes back to Mitzrayim after mentioning all these various nations. And when we come back, we're going to discuss some of these ideas as well. We'll come back to there's a very fascinating Malbum coming up that tries to summarize the entire Perek. But in the meantime, Pasuk Chavches, we return back to the major player, the main player that's going to be affected, that's going to receive the focus of attention in the times of Moshiach, in this Molcham, Lochem Miskoy Gumalag, which according to some opinions, as we're going to see a little further, is going to take place in Eretz Yisrael. The battlefield, that's a very bizarre thing, the battlefield will take place there. So what are all these nations doing in Eretz Yisrael? We only have a collection of six nations. Six nations are going to battle it out in Eretz Yisrael. The main player, the main focus of attention will fall upon Paro, upon Egypt, and not just upon Egypt, but upon the Melech of Egypt, the king of Egypt, the focus that we mentioned many times, that he will die. He will go into the grave. He will be no different than everyone else. As we mentioned yesterday, the day before, take this in contrast to the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, where Mitzrayim was defeated, Mitzrayim has fallen, and there Hashem allowed Paro to survive. He did not die. In fact, he was the only one, Nishar Bohem Ad Echad, Ad Velo Ad Bechlal Echad, the Miyuchot Sheba'am, the unique one among the people of the Egyptians was the king. Paro was allowed to live for the purpose of going and telling the world, serving as a witness to what has occurred in order to influence the world to recognize the existence and to serve of Hashem and to serve Hashem. And we mentioned in the Medrash that Paro went on to become the king of Nineveh, of Ashur. The king of Ashur and the capital of Ashur is Nineveh. Does that, and he was the Paro, the same Paro that was present in the time of Yonah ben Amittai. The story we read about on Yom HaKippurim, is this the same Paro? Can it really be it's the same Paro? I mean, what time, it's a big mystery in general, when exactly the story of Nineveh happened. When you read the Haftorah of Yonah ben Amittai, put a date to it. When exactly did it happen? 21st century?
Well, or did... Of course, you say that Yonah is the product of who Elisha brought back.
Ah, he was, that's a much later point in time, right. Okay, so it's a big mystery. So to say that it's the same Paro lived for hundreds, if not a thousand years, is a very far stretch. We joked.
In those extra years you were talking.
Right, so the tzaddikim, so Paro was Mavel Midoisav, I don't know, this is very, very bizarre. We joked around that maybe Paro was a client at the Longevity Center, the Princeton Longevity Center, and they made sure he was nice and fit, trim and fit, and they kept him alive. Who knows? Okay, so these are all very big mysteries. But here in Pasuk Chavches, we return back. It's so funny because I went to a shir Daf Yomi. She was a Rosh Shiva. A Rosh Shiva gave a shir in a sugya Daf Yomi, and somehow in the middle of the shir, he went off on a tangent, and he was making such litzanis of the Princeton Longevity Center. It was so out of place. I don't know what's to make litzanis. You know what's so terrible? What's so terrible? You know. So if they know what they're doing there, so what's? I don't get it. What?
Who did he make
litzanis? He was making litzanis of this. They used to have on the radio the Princeton Longevity Center. Come there and they check you out every few weeks, every few months. There's a Muna and there's a Shtadlus. There's a Muna and a Shtadlus. Okay, whatever it is. V'ata pasuk of ches borusoich alilim tishavar v'sishkav es chalei chorev. So this pasuk here returns. A good place to start today. The Mochama is over. We finished discussing the six nations, and now we're going to focus on the individual, the one that is the leader of this whole battle, and that is Paro. V'ata means you, Paro. You besoch alilim tishavar v'sishkav. You will amongst the arelim, the wicked. You will be broken and you will lie down, es chalelei chedef, together, es here means together with those that have been slain by the sword. Let's see the Betzudas Pasuk Chavches, he makes it clear we're discussing Paro. V'ata el mul paro yoimar, aval ata tishavar, you will be broken besoch arulei halevav, ha'elu asher ha'avoinos yishmeru atzmoisam, v'gam tishkavim chalelei chedef, v'lo tekav lakavu shkibluhem. Now let me explain it now, and then we'll read again inside. The Mitzvah is saying something very profound. He's going back. We learned yesterday. There's a very, very the psukim above the pasuk of Zayin is a complex pasuk, and there's a machlekes who is showing him exactly what it means. The Mitzudos is learning lishitasai. He learned in the pasuk of Zayin, there are two different types of people who die in battle. Two different types of wicked people. There are wicked people who are victorious in battle and die in honorable death. They die a natural death and are buried with honors. They're buried with honors. They have dignity and they have honor, and they have a nice burial plot with medals, and they're buried with their sword underneath their head to indicate that they were a gibor. They died a natural death and they overcame their enemies. Those people have a very big problem, because they're wicked. We're dealing over here exclusively with wicked people, and those people have a very big problem, is that they have not received punishment in this world for their sins. So they are going to have to make an accounting for their wicked deeds in the next world, and that is not going to be fun. On the other hand, there are people who are tortured to death, so they're also wicked. So they have their death. They leave this world with no dignity, and in fact, there is no zecher. There is no remembrance they ever existed. They're cast into a mass grave with other slain victims. No one knows where they are, where they're buried. No one will ever come to their grave. No one will ever remember them, and they've also suffered enormously. They've been tortured. Agony as in their death. So that's a terrible thing. But they do have an advantage. They do have an advantage that at least they suffered in this world before they left this world, and that will serve for them as a degree of atonement for their sins. So we have two different categories. Each one has a mila and a chesaron. Each one has an advantage and a disadvantage. Those, again, only dealing with wicked people. The wicked people who are killed in battle and thrown into a mass grave have an advantage that they have received a degree of atonement. You can't say they're totally forgiven. Obviously, there's more, there's an accounting, but there's a degree of atonement. The disadvantage is, there's no zecher. No one will ever remember them. They'll be forgotten from the face of this earth, which obviously has meaning. We don't understand what this means, because we don't understand when a person leaves this world. Obviously, it means something to them in the next world that they should be remembered. Obviously, there's some type of sipuk hanefesh. The neshama has pleasure that they've left their mark on this world. These people in this category are not going to have that pleasure that they've left their mark on this world. There will be no memory of them whatsoever. No one will even know that they existed, but at least they have received atonement. The second category has a sipuk hana. They've left a mark on this world. They're buried with honor. People know who they are, but they're in a lot of trouble, because in the neck they have to make a full accounting for their sins. Now along comes the Mitzudos, and he says something very profound. The reason why Chav Zayin we had such a complex pasuk was in order to introduce us to pasuk Chav Ches to Paro. Paro is going to have the chesronos of both. Paro, you have a special place in my heart, Hashem says. I'm going to give you the disadvantages of both. Number one, you're going to be buried in a mass grave. You're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. No one will even know that you existed. And number two, you're going to suffer even more in the next world. What? He doesn't even say his name. It's not a memorial for him. We don't.
Today, I mean, every time you see those statues with the military, if the leg is raised on the horse, it means they died in battle.
That's a prevention.
On the ground, it means they died in
natural death. Never heard of that.
What?
This is a universal. This is a universal custom.
That's the way they call it. That is the way they do it. It was explained. You know, you go on these tours. And
yeah. Very interesting. Okay, very interesting. Okay.
The horse's leg is up in the air. He died back.
Yeah. Okay, those are the ancient paros. Those are the ancient. We're dealing over here with the paro in the time of Mulchemes Goy Gumago. We're dealing here with. It's again very mysterious. So that is how the Mitsudos David, it's beautiful how he ties together Pasuk Chofres. So we should read the Pasuk again. Viata Yupar Besoch Arei Lim Tishovar. Number one, that's the first part. You're going to get the disadvantage of being tortured to death in this world and being thrown into a mass grave. So you're going to suffer in this world. No. That's the next part. Let's read it inside the Mitzvah stuff. He clarifies. Pasuk Chavches in the Mitzvah stuff one more time. V'ata al mul paro yomar. Aval, but you paro are going to get the worst of both. Aval ato tishovar, you'll be broken. Besoch arlei halevav ho'elu. Asher hu avoynos yishberu atzmoisam. Meaning, you are going, the punishment is yet to come. The arei lim, at the end of the previous pasuk, it includes Vatir Avoinosam Alatzmoisam. Those are the people who died a natural death. Okay, if you go back to the beginning of the Pasuk of Zion, it said, V'lo Yishkavu Es Giborim. You're not going to lie down with the Giborim, Noiflim, who have fallen, Mei Arei Lim, Asher Yordu Sheol. So the word Arei Lim is a code word in this Pasuk, referring back to Pasuk of Zion, referring to the wicked. Asher yardu she'ol b'chlei milchamtam, who have died a natural death and have been buried with honor, but have the disadvantage that their sins are still there. Their sins have yet to be accounted for. Vatihi avoynoisam al atzmoisam. That's what it means, the first three words of the first four words of this pasuk. V'yata yuparo b'soch arelim tishovar kama. I know there's a mercha tipcha, which means the two go together, but that's not how the Mitzudos is learning. He's basically putting over here a period, to some degree, a break after Tishavar. You will go down into the grave like the Arei Lim, who died a dignified death, and have the disadvantage that you have yet to give an accounting for all of your sins, and being punished for your sins in the next world is far, far worse than being punished for your sins in this world. That is the famous Chazal. So back in the words of the Mitzudos David, so Chav Chavches, Tishavar Besoch Arulei Halevav Ho'elu Asher Ho'avoinos, their sins Yishberu Atzmoisam, will break in the future their bones, which is an expression which means they have yet to be punished in the next world. Period. Vigam. And you'll also suffer the second disadvantage, is that you're going to be tortured in this world as well. And you're going to be buried in a mass grave and no one will ever know that you existed. V'gam tishkaf im chalalei chedef v'loi tikabel hakavod shekiblu heim. Period. And now he summarizes the thought that he just expressed. Ki te'onesh b'shnei ha'mishpatim. You're going to be punished with both forms of disadvantage and both categories of the wicked people. Ki me'od harei oso lasos yoser mikulam, because you're worse than them all put together. So you'll suffer in this world, and then the suffering in this world will not take away the suffering you will receive in the next world. And in addition, you're not going to die with dignity. You will die in a state of disgrace, and you'll be forgotten from the face of the earth. So this is the Mahalach of the Mitzudos. In the previous Chav Zayin, he built us up in order to come to understand what Pasuk Chav Ches is coming to express in regard to Paro at the time of Mulchemes Goy Gumog. Now, obviously, this is not going to work for the Radak, because the Radak we learned yesterday, he learned the Pasuk entirely different. He says we're not discussing two categories; we're discussing one category. We're discussing one group. That one group is going to have both disadvantages. Forget about that, because I'm getting too confused. But Radak did not learn the pasuk yesterday in this fashion, as two separate groups, which each one has a maila and a chasaron. Therefore, the Radak is not going to be able to learn Pshat and Pasuk Chav Ches in this fashion. But the Metzudos, who learned that we're dealing with two different groups, and one, each one has an advantage and a disadvantage, it's beautiful how now we come to Pasuk Chav Ches, and we say, Paro, you're going to have the disadvantages of both of these groups.
So we know that Paro, Mitzrayim, whatever, are part of the Gog and Magog?
No, we will. We don't know nothing. We know nothing about this. Gog and Magog is the most mysterious section or Mektsoya in Chazal. What's going to happen? That also includes Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba, how the world, the end of days, will play out with this Melchemes Gog Magog and Mashiach Olam Haba El Yohanavi. Hine Anochi Shlech Lachem Eis El Yohanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem Hagodol VeHanora. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? El Yo comes first. Is Mashiach Ben Dov, Mashiach Ben Yosef? Mashiach Ben Yosef dies. What's exactly the difference between the two? All of these things are from the greatest mysteries in Chazal, and you hear people talk about this. People try to interpret these things, but when the day is over, everyone comes back to the Rambam, and the Rambam says, "Don't waste your time. Don't knock yourself out on trying to decipher what all of these Mamori Chazal mean, because no one knows." If the Rambam. The Rambam, who is greater than the Rambam? Who is the Chacham HaGadol Mikol HaOlam? Who is greater than the Rambam? And the Rambam says such a thing, not to knock yourself out. Obviously, we have no understanding of what these things mean. We just take these little pieces of information and we store it away. And when we'll witness these events, then in hindsight, we'll be able to look back and say, ah, now I understand what it said in the Pasuk. Okay, let's see first Rashi. Rashi says, V'yata b'soch. Rashi is very short. V'yata b'soch arilim. He also says, he clarifies that here Yechezkel is addressing Paro, leparo hu oimer, es chalele cherev. You'll go down into the grave with the people who have been killed. V'lo im hanesim misas atzmam. Paro, you're part of that group. Whether Rashi learns like the Mitzudos or not, I don't know. But he's saying that Paro, one thing is for sure, you're not going to die in natural death. You will be killed in battle. Okay, Radak, the Radak.
What's the hint that it's Paro? You know,
because that's how this whole section started. The entire section, going back to the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, when this Nevuah begins, it's Koyomar Hashem Hufrashi Lacha Deshtike. We're going back Perek Lamed Aleph. I don't even know where the whole section begins, but this in the Nevuah was all addressed to Paro. We start with Paro and we keep on referring to Paro. Paro. Okay, so there it is. In the beginning, we deal with Paro, and then we sidetracked to mention Ashur and to mention Elam and Tuval and Yutuval and Meshech. We get sidetracked, we discuss, and we keep on referring to these nations with different terms. And it gets very confusing. It says that they're going to be killed surrounding. Their graves will be in the vicinity of the other ones. Who are the other ones?
Well, they're all part of Mitzrayim.
Oh, that's the question. So we learn from the Farshim. Some of the Farshim say the center is Paro. But the basic idea is, I'll read a very fascinating Malbim in a moment. But the basic idea is, it's going to be this Melchemes Gog Magog. We're going to see in a few moments that according to some of the Farshim, this will take place in Eretz Yisrael. That's where the battlefield is. The battlefield will be there. What are they doing there? They're going to be a total of six nations. There's going to be some magnificent battle. The one that's going to be the most prominent member of this battle will be the king of Egypt. And according to the Mitzudos, there are going to be different groups. We have groups that are called Arelim. We have groups that we don't call. They're not Arelim. They're going to fight it out, and they're going to die. And Paro is going to suffer the greatest defeat. He will suffer the greatest dignity at the end of this battle.
So they're not fighting with the Jews, they're fighting amongst themselves?
Well, we don't really know.
Right.
That's all part of the mystery. That's all part of the mystery.
Well,
it doesn't say, so far when we looked in these psukim, it does not say anything about they're fighting against the Jews. It doesn't say that, you're right. Yet, so why are they fighting? Why is the battlefield in Eretz Yisrael?
Right.
Why are they fighting there? Now, if you want to go look, if you want to use the Crusades as an example, I mean, the battles were taking place in Eretz Yisrael. That was the goal.
It's the crossroads of three continents.
That was the goal. The goal was who has control over the Holy Land. The Muslim Turks, the Turkish Muslims, they took control. They took away the main thing was they took away control of the the church, the holy sepulcher, the church of Zevulun, the church of the holy sepulcher. By the way, I always tell you, in the keynote, the first keynote that you read on Tisha B'Av regarding the Crusades, there's a word that in the first editions of the art scroll, they did not know what it meant. They translated it in one way, and they didn't really know what it means. And then there was someone who did research. You can see all this online. Someone who did research, they figured out what it means, and they informed art scroll, and they incorporated into the new editions of the kinos. They changed, and that's the word doyresh shucha. It says there that the Christians, they want to seek out the pit, the shucha. From Bli Neder, we'll learn the kinos before Tisha B'Av. We'll hopefully Bli Neder. I'll show you the exact line inside, and what does it mean that those who to seek out the pit? What does that mean exactly? So it was shown to the editors that the shucha was used elsewhere by other writers, other people living in this time, as a derogatory term referring to the church of the Holy Sepulchre. And that's the shucha. So it's perfect. It says here in the keynote that the Crusaders, their quest was to be doyresh, to march 3,000 miles to Yerushalayim to take back control of the shucha, to seek the shucha from the Muslims who have taken control. That's what it means, the shucha, the pit. It's a derogatory term where Yoshka, where they think he is buried in that pit. And of course, the Crusaders, in the process of marching to Yerushalayim, why should we kill the infidels in the Holy Land? We have infidels right here in Germany. We'll start with them. Those of you know, it's very interesting. I read is that the Crusaders who stopped off in Germany to murder the Jews and torture them. There was we don't even know how many people were killed. Estimates go between 10,000 to 30,000 people were killed. Those Crusaders never made it to Yerushalayim. They never made it. The people who went, you read all these romantic battles, glorious battles that took place in Yerushalayim, and all the torture and the havoc and the milchamos, that was done by other groups. The groups who went and started off and said, you know what, we're going to go take a detour and go down to Germany into Speyer, Mainz, and Worms, and other whole collection of like 10 different cities and go and loot and kill everyone, they never made it. They looted, they killed, but then when they continued, something happened to them. They were all killed. They were all killed, and they didn't get very, very far. So, all right, in any event, so going back to a single, you talk about the Crusades as an example, then you understand, because exactly that's where the Milchama was. The Milchama, the major battles, they battled all over. The Middle East, but the major battles took place in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, to take control of Temple Mount, take control of Yerushalayim, take control of the churches and all the different settlements. That's where it all took place. So you're talking about Milchemes Gog and Magog, Tamez Mos Mashiach, whatever it means. It says here that it's all, the battle is all about, the center of attention is all about Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned yesterday, what's so sad is it's none of their business. Esav has no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Ki levnei Esav nosati eshar seir. Rashi in Parashas Chukah says that when Klal Yisrael they were marching through the Midbar and trying to come to Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to go through the land of Edom, and they sent messengers to the king of Edom. Please let us go through your land. Give us passageway through your land. And we'll pay everything you want. We're not going to be here for war. And then Klal Yisrael said, Atoyodata eskol hatilo'o asher mitzo'osnu. You know about all of the trouble. The word tilo'o is a very hard word to translate. All of the trouble we have experienced. And there's amazing Rashi's here. Rashi over here says that, you know, it says by the bris bein habasarim, it's an incredible insight to what's going on in world history. Ki yadoya teida ki ger ye zaracha bi eretz lo elohem va'avodom v'inu yoysam. The original plan was, when Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu, that both Yaakov and Esav would be partners. in serving Hashem, and both of them would have to fulfill partnership in fulfilling the Shibud Mitzrayim. Esav's descendants would go down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov's descendants would go down to Mitzrayim. They will together share the burden of Va'avodum the Inui Oysam Arba Me'oshana. And as a reward for sharing in this refinement, the Kor HaBarzel, both Yaakov and Esav will have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. You can look this up in Rashi and Parshas Chukas, where Edom, in the middle of the Parsha, where Klal Yisrael says to Edom, and Esav said, you know what? I don't want lehein v'loy secharam. I don't want to suffer va'avodam v'inui oisam. I don't want to suffer. And therefore, I acknowledge the consequence. I'm giving up my right to Eretz Yisrael. V'achrechen yetzer b'chush gadol, you're going to have Eretz Yisrael. I give it up. And that's why Esav, he left. He departed from Yaakov as a statement. Lehein v'loy scharan, I'm not willing to suffer, and therefore I forfeit my right in Eretz Yisrael. So Esav gave it up. He gave up his chelik in Eretz Yisrael because I don't want to be part of avodim v'inu yoisan. So what business do they have crusading to Yerushalayim to take back the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? What's your business? You gave it up. It's none of your business. You have no right to come there. What is Yishmael doing? Ki lo yirash in goreish es ben ha'omo hazos, ki lo yirash in bini in Yitzchak. Sarah said, get rid of this person, Yishmael. He was no chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem said to Avram, kol asher toimar Sarah shma b'koyla, ki b'yitzchak yukolucho zara. So Yishmael has no business, and Esav has no business during the time of the Crusades. And over here, and this Muhammad's Goygu Magog, we're dealing with six nations. And these six nations are all part of the conglomerate of Esav and Yishmael. And where are they fighting? They're fighting in Eretz Yisrael. What are they fighting for? I guess they're fighting for dominance, for control. It's not your land. It's none of your business. What are you doing over here? That's all part of the sorry state of affairs that we're in Golos, is that people are trying to steal from us what they're not entitled to.
That's part of the Abarbanel on this parasha, by the way.
He says this?
To a degree, because he says any time you have, why is the Karbonis in this parasha?
Yeah.
So we said it's 70 for Umos Ha'olam. It's divided up into two, Esav and Yishmael.
Esav and Yishmael, 35, right.
Any time it says Si'ir Chatos Echad, it's Yishmael, and Seir Chatos Echad is always Esav, and each one comes out to
35.
4 is 35, 3, 5, 7, and 6 are also 35, and that's the whole world is divided up into Esav and Yishmael.
Look, even Friday night, we say Kiddush also, there are 70 words, 35, right. Esav, Yishmael. There are many different examples of the clash between Esav and Yishmael. And here, these six nations of Luchemes, Gumag, they're fighting for dominance. They're all descendants of these, and this was it. Now, Radak, there is no Radak. Radak over here, just some grammar. We're going to skip the Radak. I just want to read you some other things over here that I came across that I found to be very interesting. First of all, there is the Mahari Kara. Mahari Kara, he writes there's something very, very frightening. If you look in the back in Pasuk Chav Zayin, it says, Vatihi avoyno sam al atzmo sam. The Avoyno Sam, the Dibur Hamaskel, the Pasuk of Zion, the Dibur Hamaskel, Vati Avoyno Sam, Al Atzmo Sam, their sins are upon their bones. The Avoyno Sam, Mischaprim Lohem Bimo Sam. Okay, so he says over here that the sins will be atoned for them. Lefish Lo Mischapu Bechayim, Lefish Yisurim Mimorkim Avoyno Sam. Yisurim, affliction, is an atonement for sins. And here he writes, the Ein Yisurim Gidoilim Mi Yisurei Cheref. When the Pasuk uses the word cherev, this is highlighting this is the ultimate form of torture, the ultimate form of yisurim. The oysam shenergu nischapu avoynos chayehem. Aval elu shloim nergu lo nischapu. You got that really ties into what the Mitzvah is. But I just want to point out over here, he says this idea that those that died by sword is the worst yisurim. Now, Now, in modern times, would you really say that? I guess if Chazal say this, whatever this means, it's something which is interesting. Time of the Crusade.
Yeah.
Oh, so what? So you find Askra it's a misa mishuna. So Askra is suffocation. There's a disease in the throat, which ultimately caused the person to suffocate, and that's also a horrible death. He writes here Cherev. In the time of the Crusades, they all died by sword. All of the victims, the 10 to 30,000 victims, all died by sword. Some were burned to death. Some were put into buildings and were burned to death. And during the time of the Khmelnytskyi massacres also, the vast majority were killed by sword. In World War II, in Poland, in outside Poland, they were in the Holocaust, the vast majority were killed by machine gun, by firing squads, bullets. And in Poland, 3 million were killed. I think 3 million were killed in the concentration camps, gassed.
Well, initially,
in the beginning,
they were
shot. Even in Poland, that was really mostly outside of Poland. It wasn't fun, that's for sure.
Rachmana Litzlan. I'm sorry, it wasn't the Abarkanel what I said, it was the Groh.
The Groh. Okay, the Groh is very mystical. When it comes to Mohammed Skogumagok, he says the whole battle only takes, what we say, only takes a few minutes. It only takes, 15, 16 minutes, so 14 minutes? The whole battle is over before you blink. All right, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav Tesh. Shama Edoim, there will be Edoim. Now here's the sixth nation. Because we mentioned so far, Mitzrayim, let's count. I don't know how to count. Mitzrayim, then it's Ashur, Elam, Meshech, and Tuval. Five. So here we come to number six. This is the last of the nations of Mohammed Skogumagog. Shama Edom, Milocheha. Now here we use a new word. The very first time in this section, the six kings, we introduced the word kings, V'chol Nisi'echa, and princes. The word Milochecha and Nisi'echa are not used in reference to the other five nations. And Chazal take note of that. And they tell us because only when it comes, there the words that are used are Hamoina and Kihala. It's multitudes and it's assembly. That's because Hashem did not grant Malchus to any other nation other than Edom. Even Yishmol only has Alufim. Esav has the Alufim. The only one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Malchus, real bona fide Malchus, was to the nation of Edom and of course the Klal Yisrael. But the other nations, their leaders, the structure of their government is not defined with these powerful words, but instead the words are Hamoina and Kehala. And that's why here for the very first time we have here the words by Edom, Milochecha and Nisiecha. I guess if their descendants, since Edom is a descendant, is an enikel of Yaakov Avinu, of the Avos, they come from the Avos, so therefore they were granted that Sechus, that they have kings and Nisiecha, so they will be buried there, they will also be present in this Baal Shem, their Edom Melechach of Chol Nisiecha, Asher Nitnu Big Vurasam, their Gvura will be delivered as Chalalei Cheref. In other words, despite the way we have to translate these words means despite their gevura, they will fail. They will also descend into the grave with the chalalei cheref. The first we're going to explain in a moment is that from the six nations that will show up to do battle in Eretz Yisrael, the one that has the best weapons, the strongest military is Edom. Okay, they have the state of the art. You name it, they got it. And so the pasuk says, Asher nitnu bigvura sam, despite the fact that they're going to use their ultimate might, it's not going to help. They'll also be defeated, they'll also fall, es chalalei charef, heimadei, es arelim, together with the arelim yishkavu, they will descend, the es yardevar, and together with those who have gone down into the pit. This poetic repetition here referring to different elements of the population. Let's see what it says in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Tes.
These six nations are fighting. Who wins? Is the
I don't know. It doesn't say. They all die. They all kill each other. They all kill each other. It's like the Iran-Iraq war. The United States supplied weapons to both, to Iran and to Iraq. And they said, may you both win. Time of Reagan. In Reagan's day, this is a famous... What?
Kissinger's famous line.
What do you say?
It's a pity that somebody will eventually win.
It's a pity that someone will eventually win. Okay, something along those lines. They were rooting that they should both kill each other and finish each other off.
The rationale, supposedly, that they were going to fight in Eretz Israel. Part of the speculation is so that Israel witnessed the downfall of their enemies.
In front of their own eyes. Right in front of them.
I mean, that's one school of thought.
Let's see what it is in the Mitzvot. It's a hard pasuk. Pasuk of the Sham Edom, Bimkoy Mamulchama Ahi, in this location, Yiblu Gam Edom. Edom and its kings and its princes, asher nitnu bigvurasam. That's a hard word, three words to translate. What does it mean, nitnu? And what does it mean, bigvurasam? Ritzon eloimar. So the Mitzudos apologizes. He says, I acknowledge, it's not easy to translate these words. What it means is, im kol givurasam. You have to add some words in. With all of their weapons,
despite,
like I translated before, despite their gevura, nitnu, despite their gevura, we translate the words backwards, despite their gevura, nitnu, they will be given over to the dead, nitnu im shor chalalei cheref v'doim elohem, v'loi ho'il lohem ha'gevura, their mighty weapons are not going to make a difference. Hema, ritzayin eloimar, gam hema yishkavu im arlei levav, they will also descend with the wicked, the other wicked nations. The im sha'ar yardevar shemesu mitzas atzma. Also, he's putting over here that he's going literally tassoy again. They, Edom, will also suffer the worst of both. Number one, they're going to go the arlei lev, which means they have yet in the next world to suffer punishment for their sins. This is a code word. The Arlev is a code word for the people who die a natural death and have yet to give an accounting for all of their sins. The suffering is yet to come. And also, the Yardei Bar, they'll also suffer death in this suffering in this world and be obliterated from the face of the earth with no zecher. The imshar Yardei Bar, shemesu mitzah satzmam, asher avoynos hema adayin al atzmoysam, utadim. And they are designated. They are lekabel gmul to receive punishment. Ki gam heim hei reu lasos. They have also acted wickedly. So he's learning pshat in the pasuk here is they are going to get the worst of both. They're going to suffer death by sword, and they're also going to be there'll be no remembrance of them in this world, and their suffering will still come to them in the next world. Okay, that's how he learns Shah in this Pasuk. Okay, let's see. Rashi, Pasuk, Chavtes. There is no Rashi. Radak, Pasuk, Chavtes, Sham, Edom, V'chol, Elish, Shezecher, Heim, Sheril, Yisrael. All of these nations that we mentioned, these six nations, V'kulam, Naflu, V'chav, are all going to fall by sword. Now look at the Malbim. The Malbim, Pasuk, Chavtes, Dibur, Hamaschil, Shama, Edom. Achar kach, Yavo, Shama, Edom, Umilocheha. Edom and his kings will come there also to the battle. V'heim yilchamu sheinis bigvur rabba. They'll fight a second. I don't know. After the other battle of all the other kings. He's going to explain. He's going to let's read for a little bit more. Let's read a little bit more. He's going to explain. They're going to come. They're going to enter the battle at a later point in time. They're going to enter the battle. Let first them. The other nation will get started, and then they'll come in at the end. And they're going to fight. It says, "Sheniachach yevo shama edom melacha v'heim yilchamu shenis bigvur rabba v'nosnu bigvur asam el chalalei cheref v'heima es arelim yishkavu." What does all that mean? Sheheim yikavu levad im harelim lo im hayishmeelim hanimolim. Okay, so first he says they Edom are going to be buried with the other arelim and not with the yishmeelim. What does all that mean? I don't know. Now, here's the parentheses. This is what's interesting. What? All right, not the Yishmaelim, Hanimalim, which are circumcised. So they're going to be two different groups. The group of people who have a bris milah and the group that do not have a bris milah, Edom is going to be on the side of those that do not have a bris milah. And they'll be buried with them in that section. Now, parentheses. You have the parentheses in your edition?
Yes.
Now, here's the interesting part. Gifia Nira, According to the summary of what's going on, Yilchamu Shloisha Ha'achroinim HaNechshavim Po Neged Shloisha HaRishonim. We have a list of six nations. So he's going to match up three against three. Mitzrayim will fight with Emeshech and Tubal. Okay. The Ashur Yilochem Im Edom. The Elam, now that's the next pasuk. The next pasuk talks about another nation, Im Nesichei Tzafon. Now I really made a mistake. I told you that Meshech and Tuval are two nations. It seems like here he's putting them together as one nation. And number six is going to be what it says in the next verse, Pasuk Lamed. He says the Nesichei means the leaders, the princes of the north of the Tzafon. Okay, so these, so he's coming to match up. There's going to be three separate battles. And the psukim, he mashed up the psukim in some creative way. It's going to be, these are going to be the people who battle one against the other. How come we don't mention that Asher will be buried with their Elim? Ki harelim shel Edom umilochecho yikavru mufrodim bifnei atzmam. Because the Arelim of Edom, they will be, Edom is battling against Asher. And Asher is going to be the nation that's going to be circumcised. And Edom is a nation that's not circumcised. And therefore they're going to be buried differently. They have a different burial plot for people who are circumcised and people who are not circumcised. V'heim yilchamu b'gvura rabba, they will fight with enormous gvura. V'amru chazal, medrash tehillim, sheshloisha milchomos osit goygu magog la'asoyz, they're going to make three battles. Kifi hanire hoitziyu zos mipo. The mystery, the source of this medrash, that Goygu Magog is going to conduct three major battles, comes from these series of psukim where we mention six nations and we compare one to the other. Shechoshav Shloisha Kineged Shloisha. Okay, so now you know the secret to what's going to happen in the time of Mohemes. Goygu Magog, if that helps you at all. It certainly doesn't help me. Next, Pasuk Lamed.
So Goyg and Magog don't refer to a specific nation.
It refers to three. Goyg refers to one set, and the Magog refers to the other set. So Gog is divided into three branches, and Magog is divided into three branches, and each branch will fight the other branch.
So it's Gog versus Magog, according to this?
It seems what he's saying is that Gog...
Usually,
yeah.
It's referred that one is the king of the other.
It seems it's a conglomerate. Under the banner of Gog, you have three nations, which would be, who would they be? Mitzrayim, it would be Ashur, and it would be Elam. And Magog would be their enemy, which would be Meshech Tuval, and then Keneged then Edom, and the Sichei Tzafon. So Gog represents one group of three, and Magog represents another group of three, and there are going to be three separate battles. Each one will enter the battlefield and battle it out, and they'll kill each other out, and they'll all be buried. They'll all die.
It doesn't sort of mention that they were related. There were three wars, but look at
the end. I know he's saying, "Well, this is the Malbim. Who would ever say such a thing?" I agree with you.
No.
Right. this is what the Malbim is saying. This is purely the idea of the Malbim. It's not for nothing they put the Malbim on the page here, you know? The Malbim is saying interesting chidushim that are not obvious. It's not obvious in the text. He's taking this medrash that says it's Goygu Magog, they're going to make three battles. And over here he says, what are the three battles? Well, there are six nations, and the psukim divide them up differently, and one goes against the other. And therefore you have to say Gog represents one group of three, and Mog represents another group of three, and there are going to be three different fights.
Best two out of three.
Okay, let's see. Now we go.
Theologically, we don't know that these three were
related to each other. I agree with you. Who are they? Is it reasonable that Mitzrayim today, modern day Egypt, they're a major player in Mohammed's Goyg Magog? I wouldn't. You never say that. Who is Ashur? They don't even exist. Assyria? Who's Ashur today? Who's Meshech and Tuval? Who is Elam? Elam, you want to say, is Iran, maybe? I don't know. Who are these nations? So this is the big question. What does it mean exactly? Who are there's like a reincarnation. There's a reincarnation. These nations, they represent a certain philosophy and ideology. And today, those who have great insight can tell you that in modern times, this nation is the equivalent of Egypt in ancient times. They adopt their same ideology. Tuval and Meshech, they represent this particular nation, they're the modern day Tuvagat. Rav Schwab does this. Rav Schwab, we tell this all the time. Rav Schwab, he likes to say that America is Mitzrayim. And Rachol doesn't like that. And Rachol always gets upset when I say that. Rav Schwab says this. What does that mean exactly? Why are you calling, why are you saying that when you look in Chazal, you talk about Mitzrayim, America is Mitzrayim. Okay, it's not so nice to say that, obviously. Rachol's grinning. But, okay, so if it's America's not Mitzrayim, who is Mitzrayim? Egypt? Doesn't seem like it, right? So who is it? Who knows? So this is the big mystery. All the nations. There's another. So, but on the other hand, Chazal say each some nation still maintain their identity. So we said there's a balance. There's a balance, or maybe they moved around the world moved around to different. These are all major mysteries. Now we're not finished yet. Pasuk Lamed Shama there in this battle. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Shama Nisichei Tzafa. Nisichei means the leaders. Nesichei Tzafa. And if you look in the Mitzvot Sinai, it says Nesich means in Sorara. Come on, Nesichei Sicha. And it means leaders, the leaders of the north. There's an alliance in the north. Maybe that refers to Russia. All of the states. What is it called? The Republic. All the different states. The Soviet Union. It's broken up into all the different little pieces. So Shama Nesichei Tzafa. Kulam, all of them. V'chol Tzidoini. Tzidoni is another nation. He didn't include that the Malbim in his calculation of the six, and maybe I guess it goes together with the Nesichei Tzafain. Asher, they will also suffer the same fate. Asher Yardu Es Chalalim. Es means with. They will also descend into the grave together with all of the people who have fallen in battle. Now here the Pasuk concludes why? Bechiti Sam Migvura Sam Boshim. When they are defeated from their gevura, they will be embarrassed. When the word chitisam means it means to be broken. They will break their swords against the plowshare. So bechitisam migvurasam, they will arrive with their weapons of mass destruction and their jets and their science fiction weapons. And what's going to happen? It's not going to work. Nothing is going to work. Everything is going to break. Everything is going to be destroyed. And when all this happens, Boshim, they're going to be put to shame. And what's going to happen to them? Bechitisam. No, those two words go together. Bechitisam, migvuros,
bim. Bechitisam is the end, and then migvurosam, Boshim.
No, Bechitisam is I have a mapach. What do you have in the Bechiti Sam? Oh, you have an Esnachta? No, I have a Mapach. Oh, a different dish, very interesting. I have after Chalalim, there's a Revi'i. Yeah. And then Bechiti Sam is a Mapach. Yeah. Mapach Pashta Zokev Koton.
Yeah, how come over here?
We got multiple Esnachtas.
Okay, I don't know. I have a Maya dish and Bechiti Sam means it's the beginning. Okay, so let's follow Maya edition for the moment. It's a new statement. If these three words go together, Bechiti Sam, Migvura Sam, Boshim, when they will be broken from their Gvura, they will be put to shame. Vayishkivu Areilim Eschal Echadev, they will lie together. The wicked people will lie together with those that have been killed by sword. Vayisu chelima sam, and they will bear their shame, es yardevar, together with those who have descended into the grave. Let's see lamed in the mitzudos David. Lamed shama there nesichei tzafon b'mekom hamulchama hahi yiplu gam nesichei tzafon kulam. In that battle, all of the leaders of the north will fall. Ish lo nedar, no one will be missing. Every single leader will be put to death. V'gam kol ish tzidoin asher yardu lakever imshar hachalolim. When they are broken, when they are defeated, they'll be put to shame. Their gvura, in other words, they'll be put to shame that all of their weapons, all of their might, their power was to no avail. they were unsuccessful. The reason why we're making this thing was because they were well known. They were known to have the state-of-the-art weapons, and over here we learned that it all was for nothing. These wicked people will descend into the grave together with the other people. The other wicked people have died by sword. And they will bear the shame that they deserve. Like we discussed before, in this massive grave which will hold them all together. All right, let's see the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Lamed. We're going to skip all these Radaks. These are all very, very intense grammar Radaks, and I do not know what it means.
Yeah. We decide that Sofon means.
Yeah.
Radak says it's Bavel, and that makes sense.
So it is what? Is what?
He said Sofon is
Bavel. Bavel. Okay. Malchi Bavel. Okay.
Which makes sense because.
Right. Mitzofon tipasach haro'ah. Okay. So the Babylonian, which means Iraq. Iraq, right? That's what it means really then. Okay. All of the different factions in Iraq, the Sunnis and the Shiites. Lamed Aleph. Oysam Yireh Paro. Now, after we wind down, so now again, we're going back to Paro. Paro over here is the central player in this Milchemes Goig Umagog. When Paro is in the grave and he sees who's coming, he sees the other six, the other nations, all the other five nations, or really it's more than five nations, more than that we mentioned over here. When he sees them coming, he'll feel good. Oh, I'm not the only one here. I have good company. I'm in good company. In misery loves company. Oysam yireh faro. He'll see them when they arrive in the grave. V'nicham. Ah, he'll now have comfort. I'm not the only one here. Al kol ha'moina, regarding his multitude. Look, it's not just my army, my nation that has been defeated, has descended to the grave. All these other mighty nations are also sitting here in Gehenna with me. Chal le'cherev paro. The dead of Paro and all of his army, Nu'um Hashem Lokim, so says Hashem. Let's do another pasuk. Why is all of this going to happen? Ki nosati eschitisi bi'eretz chayim. At this moment in time, I will deliver my fear in the land of the living. In other words, according to the Mitzvot, this means that this entire battle will take place. This battle between the Goyg u'Magog, which includes these nations, will cause terror. And this terror will occur in the land of the living, which refers to Eretz Yisrael. I will deliver, I'll put my chitisi b'Eretz Chayim, for hushkav v'sochar elim, and he will, again, Paro, will go down into the grave with the arayel, with a lot of repetition, eschal lecherev, Paro v'chol hamayno, Paro and all of his motus, no mashem elukim, all the repetition, I guess this ties back to the beginning of the parak, when we focused on Paro. We go back, we mentioned Paro and his army will be defeated. Now let's see these two psukim in the Mitzudos. Pasik Lamed Aleph. In the Mitzudos, David. Oysam kol hachalolim ho'ela yire Paro the yelo tanchumin al kol hamonamo. When Paro sees the other nations descend into the grave with him, he will have comfort. Ki kena derech kishiroi odam asher hatzor rabo love bo al gam al achirim. Misery loves company. When a person sees that other people are suffering like him, techoshev lo l'tanchum, that's for him is a form of comfort. Chalelei cherev, bozeh yifareish al ma yeh hatanchum. What will be the comfort? Abi amar al ki yeh chalelei cherev paro v'chol chelo. It will be to witness the chalelei cherev, the sword, those that killed by sword, those that will be killed by sword, Paro and all of his army, together with, I guess it means together with everyone else, each one will find comfort. They're not alone in their suffering. Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Mitzudos, Kinasati, Ki ani etein es shivri bi'eretz chayim. And what does this mean, this pasuk? So Ritzoin Eloimar, Begzeirasi tia hashvir bi'eretz chayim. Here are the key words. Ki bi'eretz Yisrael Tihiyeh Hamulchoma Hahi. The battle that we've mentioned in this pasuk, Milchemes Goyg u'Magog, all these nations, the pasuk here is telling us the location of the battle. Where is the battle? It did not tell us this point until now. It didn't tell us where the battle will take place. Here, for the very first time, it's telling us the location. It will take place in Eretz Yisrael, Lekabel Shom Hagmul, that they should get what they deserve there. Bimkoim Horesha Shomo Hamishpat. Because since they acted evil against Klal Yisrael, their rishus was directed towards the Jewish people who are based in Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will draw them into Eretz Yisrael so they should suffer the punishment in the place where they have caused harm. Isn't that interesting? Now, we wouldn't want that, right? No. We would prefer they go out into the Greenland. They can go to the moon, fight it out in the moon. Go to Mars and fight it out. What are you coming and bothering us in Eretz Yisrael? Okay, so kiloy machshavay say machshavay sechem, for whatever reason, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you directed your hatred, your sinna, your pain against the people who live in this land. Come to this land. Let me torture you. Let me give you what you deserve. B'mekayim horesha, shama hamishpat. Powerful words of the Mitzudos Tzavit. And everyone agrees to this. We're going to see some new pshat. Okay, let's go next words of the Mitzudos. I have a hushkaf. Gam hu yeh mushkaf, paro will lie down. B'soch sharei haleva, imshor chalei cherev, v'mihu ha-mushkaf. They will also lie down. Who are they? I guess it means the Nesichei Tzafon. The Nesichei Tzafon, they will also be tzidon. Paro b'chol, who else? Paro b'chol hamon amo. They'll all be lying in the grave together. I guess the Nesichei Tzafon, with the tzidon, will lie down together with Paro in the grave. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Lam. It says a different shan the Pasuk. First he says Bechiti Sam Big Migvurasam Bayashem. Beis Beit Vorushoin Migvurashoin Bohasin. When they are, now the word, when they are broken from their might, they are terrified. Now that's not, I'm not mistaken, the word Bohasin does not mean embarrassed. It means Bohola. It means to be bewildered. But that's not really what the Pasuk said. I guess he has a new translation. We're not really correctly translating the word embarrassment. The words is boshim. I don't know. I thought the word bohasin means to be embarrassed. Okay, the Mitzudos clearly says it means to be embarrassed, to be put to shame because their weapons were ineffective. But here it seems to say the word boshim is related to the word boholah. Bahasa, different expressions. I don't know. This requires further eon. Lamed Beis. Now here is something very important. And this is very important. Lamed Beis, he's disagreeing with the Mitzudos, and he says that the battle will not necessarily take place in Eretz Yisrael. The battle will take place elsewhere. But as a result of this battle, the people living in Eretz Yisrael will come to fear Hashem. I will instill my fear, my be'eretz chayim ki etein ani es moroi be'eretz Yisrael v'lo sinosein od chitis odom ba. The people living in Eretz Yisrael will now only come to fear Hashem. They will no longer fear man. It means until this point in time, people living in Eretz Yisrael, who are they afraid of? Well, if you're a tzaddik, you're afraid of Hashem. But you're also afraid of your neighbors. You're afraid of the neighbors. Who knows? You have to be on the lookout. Terrorism. They are Rahman al-Tzlan. It's a very big problem. Security is the biggest issue in Eretz Yisrael. You're afraid of Hashem and you're afraid of your neighbors. But when Hashem will wipe out these nations, Goy Gumagoy, then the only thing you can devote your fear, you can devote yourself 100% to the fear of Hashem. People will only fear Hashem. They will no longer fear man. It's a very beautiful conclusion to describe the Mohammed Sagamag. The goal is to devote all of your resources of Yira to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to none other. Something along those lines. Obviously, there's more depth to this Rashi. I don't know more. I don't know.
Some of the Mepharshim say that the reason for, again, being in Eretz Yisrael is that just when you think it's hopeless, the reason it should be Eretz Yisrael because it'll appear that everybody is coming to destroy Israel. And at the last minute, it'll just be a miracle, and they'll all kill each other.
That's what it's saying.
That
it's Hashem.
God is working.
And then you'll come to only fear Hashem.
Right.
But what's interesting is the word chitis is not the usual word you refer to fear of Hashem. The word you refer to fear Hashem is the yiras Elokim, yiras Hashem. There is pachad Yitzchak, which is also an expression which alludes to fearing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the expression chitisi is usually used in reference to the fear of man. And that's how the Mitzulus learns. And here Rashi is being very, very, very novel in telling us that this expression is being used in reference to the fear of God. Let's see the Radak, and we're done. Radak leads to Psukim. If there is any Radak that's not grammar, it's Pasuk Lamed Beis, with Lamed Alpha Lamed Beis. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Venichames Hamoina, Shel Mitzrayim. They will have comfort. Ki Nosati Eschitiz Beir Eschayim, Kolzman Shoha Yechai, the Kolzman Shoha Yechai, the Ato Yushkav Es. I'm reading the Radak. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong, the Rid. Sorry about that. Okay, there's no Radak. The Radak is grammar, so we'll leave it out. Okay, the Radak is just more grammar, so we'll leave out the Radak. So we'll conclude here with Perek Lamed Gimel. Stop here.